Aloha and good morning from Kunahunganji. Thank you for tuning in this morning. This morning, I would like to take this opportunity through this radio broadcast message to thank all of you who have personally called me, emailed, and written to me regarding how Kunahunganji fared during the storm, and especially how my family and I were doing after the recent tropical storm that hit the Big Island. This week marks 1 month that the storm hit us, and still you can see much of the destruction around the Puna area. Trees are still toppled over, power lines still lay across the roads, are all visions that we still see as we travel through the area. For the past couple of weeks, I'm sure many of you have seen these images on television, but through personal experience, I can tell you that it's a much different experience once you've seen it firsthand. Storms like these are really hard to understand. Here at the church, all we had was branches littering our yard, and yet within walking distance, the papaya patch, with all its trees, were damaged and all on the ground. Before and after the storm, I went out to visit some of our homebound members and affiliate members to see how they were doing. To see and hear some of their stories, to see some of the damage, and to hear what they had to go through really took a toll on them and myself. But within those stories came stories of perseverance, impermanence, interdependence, and a sense of ohana, and even that ignorant self. All of these concepts are words that we talk about on Sunday mornings. These concepts came alive for us as we witnessed the post-storm activities. In this world that is in constant change, we saw many people coming together to help one another. Families helping families, strangers helping out other strangers to clear the roadways so that they could get in and out of their homes to get the provisions that they so needed. People lent out their generators to others as they got their electricity back. Many people and organizations, including Kunahunganji, went into the areas affected to deliver bottles of water, ice, and cooked food for some of those who were in need. The ignorant people also came out. A lady in the back of me at the grocery store said something I will never forget as she saw myself and the people in front of me with loads of water and food. She said, "Those people in Pune, they got what they deserved." People are in need, and yet people have the gall to say something like that really upset me and some of the other people that heard her say such a hateful thing under her breath. Not to mention, we have read in the papers or saw on television the senseless vandalism of the ice plant in downtown Hilo. Now, as things slowly come back to normal, we see just how we are dependent on things and the causes and conditions that control everything. Across the street at 7-Eleven, they ran out of Slurpee cups. And of course, of all days that I had a craving for Slurpees, they were out. One of the sales associates there is a good friend, and the family belongs to the church. I asked him about these cups. He remarked how there were none. He couldn't borrow from the other stores because they didn't have any. He couldn't fly them in because they come by barge. All the barges were still in port, waiting for the all clear signal, and many more things like heavy equipment to help in the release efforts were being put onto the barges. So there was a delay in getting these cups. While such silly, trivial things, still we see just how things operate through the karmic condition of things. Shinran Shonin, in his letters to the people of Hitachi, remarked on helping each other in times of need. It seems that a mother did not have anyone that she could depend on. He sympathizes with her and asks the people of Hitachi to treat her with compassion. He felt powerless and distressed about not being able to help. So he ends one of his letters by by stating, "It is the people of Hitachi who must show compassion. With sympathy, the people there should feel concern for them. On reading this letter, the people should share the same feelings." Shinran understood that this lady's two sons were also powerless, so that they should all come together to help this lady out. That is the same sense that is now happening in Pune. We see people from all walks of life helping out each other to rebuild a better, more thriving community, while still at the same time are still concerned, as now a lava flow is now creeping slowly towards a town. In the Nembutsu as Living section of Takamago Shigaraki's book, A Life of Awakening, The Heart of a Shin Buddhist, Shigaraki Sensei remarks about writing some parting words for his graduating class. He writes, "Know that all the events of this world, whatever they may be, whenever they may be, are conditions that to support the Nembutsu. These are words that are sort of my motto," he writes. "They are words that I always write, not because I necessarily live by them, but in a sense because they are cautionary words for me. The words urge me to say the Nembutsu, knowing that no matter how sad an event may be, or how angry I may become over some incident, everything that happens in my life works its way toward me, so that I will not forget the Nembutsu, or so that I will say the Nembutsu many times, or say it even just once. Because that is so, I will always be able to overcome any sadness or suffering, and a new way will open up within my life. In my understanding, this path is the Nembutsu of everyday life, the Nembutsu as living that Shinran teaches us." After the first time I read this section, I pondered what it meant. Today, it has a deeper meaning for me as I continue to travel the roads into the affected areas, and what the gift of the Nembutsu means to me. The Nembutsu is truly a gift from the Buddha to all of us, and this gift remains with us for the rest of our lives. Unlike a toy, or socks, or the underwear we get as presents, the gift of the Nembutsu stays with us, tailoring to our needs and to all the events that go on in our lives. Whether the events are good or bad, the Nembutsu always stays with us and never abandons us. A devout member reminded me about this gift as I visited her after the storm. She said that every morning and every evening, she sits in front of her Obutudan, lights a candle, and then the incense, and recites the Nembutsu. No matter the situation, this ritual for her happens because she is thankful for the events that happened during the course of the day, and thankful to be alive just one more day to experience the gift we call life. Life is something we often take for granted. When I first got involved with education, I was just out of college, struggling to find a job. Before I knew it, I was in a classroom working with severe special needs students. It was at a point in my life that I was so appreciative to live my life because of them. Here were students that I had to teach every day how to write their name, teach them their alphabets and their numbers. Things that we do on a daily basis was a chore for them. To me, every teacher should start off in that position in order to fully appreciate what it means to be a teacher. In closing, this week, a great person that is dear to our family passed away. Legendary football coach Edward Skipadias was a great man. I had the opportunity to work with him for many years on and off the football field at Farrington High School. Thank you, Coach Diaz, for all that you have done for me, the hundreds of student athletes, and for my family. Thank you for all those great life lessons that you have taught me over the years. This is, once again, Reverend David Fujimoto from Punahonganji. Thank you for tuning in this morning, and thank you to the sponsor of this week's broadcast. Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu.